everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with Ray Allen. Ray is engineering and producing our show. Together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show, midweek edition, Wednesday, January 18th, 2017. We are broadcasting from the KVOI studios located in Tucson, and we are Tucson's Voice, AM 1030. We've got our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, and the station's website, kvoi.com. Our podcasts, of course, are available usually within an hour of the completion of our program. We have our archive, which pretty much covers 6 years of programs, so we are entering our seventh year of the Buckmaster Show this month. So you can find it all at buckmastershow.com. Dr. Victoria Mazes is going to be our lead-off guest today, and if you have any health-related questions, please give us a call on the live line 790-2040 for your calls, your questions, and comments. Our contributor on health, and we're honored to have her, Dr. Victoria Mazes. She is the executive director of the well-known University of Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine. She is a professor of medicine and family medicine and public health. She is internationally recognized as a leader in integrative medicine and is committed to health promotion and pioneering change efforts that solve America's healthcare system problems. She's the editor of the Oxford University textbook, Women's Integrative Health, and author of the book, Be Fruitful, The Essential Guide to Maximizing Fertility and Giving Birth to a Healthy Child. You can learn more about her on her website, victoriamazesmd.com, or follow Dr. Mazes on Twitter at Dr. Mazes. Dr. Mazes, how are you?
I'm doing well. Happy New Year. How are you?
Same to you. I hope you had a lovely holiday season and that your new year is off to, the first couple of weeks of it anyway, to a pretty good start.
Yes, it certainly is. Thank you.
Of course, well, many of us over eight. No big surprise there, right? Stop the presses. We all live with trillions of bacteria in our body, and that can be a good thing or a bad thing, I guess. And believe it or not, it can influence weight gain, correct?
Yes. Yeah, so, you know, in general, we've thought of bacteria as bad. We've thought of bacteria as bad for a really long time, and a lot of us are a little phobic about germs and fungus and viruses and all of these other microorganisms. But it turns out that the vast majority of them are actually critically important to our health.
So there are good and bad bugs? Is that what
well,
I'm hearing?
Well, I think it's a little more complicated.
Okay.
There are good ones. We call those symbiotic, and there's a mutually beneficial relationship between those particular bacteria or other organisms and us. There are bad ones. We usually call those pathogens, and they cause pathology, so they're bad. They cause disease. And then there are commensals, and they essentially are along for the ride, and they don't do anything good or bad. They just live on us.
So how eating behaviors, I know there's a lot of research going into this, and we're learning more about it every day, that eating behaviors, really the changing eating behaviors, are playing a large role in the controlling of the gut bacteria, correct?
Yes. So I think it's important to realize that the bacteria that are in our gut are important for digestion and help us digest and assimilate the nutrients in our food. They're critically important for that. But they actually also affect our immune system. They can affect our mood. And one of the newest developments in psychiatry and psychiatry research is really looking at how the gut microbiome can affect things like anxiety and other mental health issues, ADHD, autism. So there's many, many different ways in which the bacteria in our gut turned out to have health effects, including, as you mentioned earlier, our weight. So the question then becomes, how do we be sure that we have healthy microbiome in our intestinal tract.
And the word microbiome is inclusive of all of these trillions of live little critters.
That's exactly right. It's its own ecosystem, essentially, and it includes bacteria and fungi and viruses, and we're really in an early stage of learning about them, but everything we're learning makes us say this is critically important for human health.
When did this research really start ramping up? Because it is a relatively new area of medical research, isn't it?
Yes. So it is relatively new. I know that less than 10 years ago, research scientists had essentially discovered only about 200 of these bacteria, and now we know that there are more than 10,000 different microbial species in our microbiome that add up to those trillions that you mentioned. Dr. David Relman, the Human Microbiome Project, are well underway, and this is really what's beginning to give us that much, much broader understanding. And we are understanding what affects it. And some of the things are quite surprising to some and maybe not to others. For example, how we're born has a very important effect on setting up our microbiome. So if we're born through the mother's birth canal, then we are colonized as we come through the canal with one set of bacteria, whereas if we're born by cesarean section, and about a third of babies in the U.S. are born by cesarean section, then we're colonized by skin bacteria, which leads to very different health outcomes. Whether or not our mother breastfeeds us, it turns out that in breast milk is a set of nutrients called human milk oligosaccharides.
Hmm.
And we cannot digest human milk oligosaccharides. So you could say, why would we waste about a third of the calories in breast milk for something that babies can't actually digest? And it turns out that those human milk oligosaccharides are feeding the bacteria in the baby's intestine to help it develop a normal digestive function and a normal immune system and to set it up right. So those are some very early factors. And then later on in life, whether or not we're exposed to antibiotics and how extensively, what we eat, so our dietary choices, and many other things are affecting the health of our microbiome.
All right, Rita has just called us. She had to leave, but thanks to Ray, we have her question up on my screen, Dr. Mazes, and it's a good question, and it's really where I was going next about how do we, kind of the strategies to enhance and maintain a healthy biomine, and one of the questions that Rita has, what about probiotics? Are they helpful?
Right, so that's a really important question, and it's being actively researched. We know it's helpful in some situations. We know it can be helpful for women to take probiotics at the end of pregnancy to help reduce some of the childhood diseases like eczema and asthma. We know probiotics can be helpful if you have a traveler's diarrhea, but we don't know for sure how long the effect of probiotics lasts. And we don't even know for sure which species, except in a very few situations. So I like to advise that people, for the most part, barring a very specific medical condition, try to get their prebiotics and probiotics from their diet. So, for example, fermented foods are a source of probiotics. So that can include yogurt or kefir or kimchi. Pickles, if they're true pickles, are fermented foods. And all of these things help nurture the microorganisms in the intestinal tract.
You know, you mentioned the cesarean versus natural childbirth. So the obvious question that I have is one more preferable for building up more of an immunity? In other words, I guess generally, is the long term going to be a better health outlook one way or another, or can that not be determined?
Well, it does look like a vaginal birth sets up children for better health, that there's less obesity when you have a vaginal birth, that there's less asthma. But some of these studies are still preliminary. We clearly recognize that sometimes a cesarean section is life-saving for both the mother and or the baby. And so this is not, we shouldn't ever do a cesarean section. Of course we should in emergency situations. But many people feel that the rate should be about 15%, and it's over 30 at present. And so it seems that we're doing a lot of unnecessary C-sections and that we probably, with good practices, could do fewer. And as we understand the health consequences, the lifelong health consequences potentially to an infant and child of being born by cesarean section, we might decide that we really need to rethink the criteria we use to do a cesarean section. We also might think about, if you do have a cesarean section, well, do we then want to give probiotics for a number of months to that baby to help them set up a normal microbiome?
All right, good stuff. We will continue with Dr. Victoria Mazes. Had a couple of Facebook questions we will get to. And, of course, you can call us on the live line as Rita did at 790-2040. It's the Buckmaster Show, midweek edition, back with Dr. Victoria Mazes right after this. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport, with six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Experience the best of the Canadian Rocky Mountains with the rail journey on Rocky Mountaineer. You'll travel alongside the powerful Kicking Horse River and pass by monumental landmarks from the early days of the National Railway. On this legendary route, you'll see postcard images around each bend, including stays in picturesque Lake Louise, with scenic tours of Jasper National Park, and much more. Contact Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Rocky Mountaineer rail journey today. Bon Voyage Travel, your travel experts.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Dr. Victoria Mazes is with us. We are talking about trillions, certainly millions, of little travelers inside all of our intestines that I guess, Dr. Mazes, do depend on us to feed them each day, and maybe choosing the right foods would be very helpful, correct?
Right. So I mentioned prebiotics, and not so many people have heard of prebiotics. They've heard a lot more about probiotics. Prebiotics are foods that actually help feed those microorganisms in our intestine, and they include a wide range of foods like pistachios, onions, bananas, honey, garlic, leeks, asparagus, oats and soybeans. So there's this wide range of foods that it turns out are really good diets for the bacteria that are in our intestinal tract. And I always like to give some good news. Dark chocolate also turns out to be one of those foods that helps feed a healthy microbiome.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that, because I'll be doing my daily square of a dark chocolate. I usually do it after lunch, and it is 85%, cocoa content.
Yeah, cacao. That's
cacao.
Great. So it turns out that the dark chocolate is fermented in the intestinal tract, and it's metabolized into anti-inflammatory compounds that are good for your heart. This is definitely one of those foods that has sometimes a bad reputation and turns out to be a serious health food.
And I guess getting enough exercise can improve regularity, which is important, correct?
Yes, of course, that's true. And in general, fiber is important for the same reason. We also would encourage a diversity of foods, gardening, you know, growing some of your own foods, and getting some of that soil under your fingers and not necessarily scrubbing it away. We're very phobic about dirt, but it turns out that people who live close to farm animals and farms often have healthier immune systems.
A lot of people taking antibiotics right now, and of course, there is something that's been going around. We've all have friends and relatives that have come down with some kind of a bronchial thing. If you are on antibiotics, please consider, a probiotic, right?
That's true. It is worthwhile to be taking a probiotic simultaneously with the antibiotic, and then for a week or two afterwards. I think we overprescribe. I take some responsibility for that as a physician, that we overprescribe antibiotics. And a lot of infections this time of year are viruses. They're not helped by antibiotics. And so use those antibiotics wisely. Use them when you need them, but otherwise avoid them. And one last food to avoid is diet soda. It turns out that diet soda also alters the intestinal microbiome, and it can increase our risk of diabetes. Very surprising, because that's often why people drink diet sodas, to reduce the calories and hopefully reduce their chances of getting diabetes. But it turns out that diet soda alters the mix of bacteria in the gut in a way that is really unhealthy.
Had a question from David, one of our Facebook friends at Bill Buckmaster, and David is wrestling with the questions about fish oil and fish oil versus cod liver oil. And I remember as a kid, Dr. Vic, Toria Mazes. My mom insisted on kind of a teaspoon every day of cod liver oil.
Well, your mom did you a big favor.
Good.
And
Thank you, Mom.
Cod liver oil is a kind of fish oil. We tend not to recommend cod liver oil these days because there's a concern that there can be too much vitamin A in the cod liver oil. So while I would definitely say that your mom did something wise and beneficial overall for your health, we think that now other forms of fish oil are actually most likely safer, ones that aren't from a liver source necessarily, because the liver is our main detoxification organ in the body, but also because of the excess vitamin A that's been found in many cod liver oil supplements. And so instead, we would recommend a fish oil that could come from a variety of kinds of fish, and these are usually molecularly distilled, which means that the manufacturers work to get the mercury and the PCBs and the other kind of organochlorine pesticides out of the fish, and sad to say, but in general, fish oil is cleaner than eating fish.
And getting back to our topic about the gut, is there any relationship between fish oil and the human microbiome?
It's a great question, and I'm not aware of a lot of research that link those two, but I bet it's coming.
I'm sure it is. So getting back to this whole the human microbiome, what is that project that I keep hearing about? I believe it's called the Human Microbiome Project. And what is the mission there? What are they trying to determine, Dr. Mazes?
Well, there's so many important questions about how our microbiome really affects human health. And as I mentioned earlier, it at first we thought, okay, well, having a healthy intestinal tract is important in terms of digestion. But now we really understand that the range of illnesses, perhaps, the range of healthy behaviors that the microbiome is linked to is just incredibly extensive. And so the Human Microbiome Project is attempting to look at the whole genome sequencing of all of these different bacterial species and to begin to understand how they're affecting our immune system and how they're related to both good health and to disease. It's an enormous project.
Let's talk just briefly about the Center for Integrative Medicine. It is the beginning of a new year, and it's a good time to kind of look back over the center's past year in 2016. How would you characterize it? And what are you hoping for, Dr. Mazes, in 2017 at the center?
Well, we had a wonderful 2016. We initiated a number of new educational programs over the last few years. And I'm proud to tell your listeners that we now train every kind of health professional one can imagine through our various educational programs. So people who want to learn more about the kinds of things we've talked about on your show, nutrition and dietary supplements, mind-body interactions, the importance of physical activity, now have a whole range of training programs from our fellowship to our integrative health and lifestyle program to an integrative health coaching program. And I'm very proud that in 2017, we will initiate a new program for the public that's called Integrative Health Self-Care, which will really be to bring some of these specific content directly to the public and actually to underserved populations who get their care at community health centers like El Rio and the Marana Health Centers, and can get this information from our center.
And you have some outstanding speakers throughout the year, and probably a good way would be to go to the website, correct?
Yes, and speaking of that, Dr. Esther Sternberg, who is our research project, will be offering the keynote at the upcoming Arthritis Center annual meeting, and so people can look forward to that later this month as well.
So it's been a good year and continues to be. And when was the first time when you were training to be a physician you even heard the words integrative medicine?
Oh, that's a really great question. I'm not sure I remember exactly, but I would say it was sometime in the 1990s. So it's still a relatively young field, but it's got a good 20 plus years.
Very good. Dr. Mays is always a pleasure, and we'll direct people also over to your website, Dr. VictoriaMazesMD.com, and of course you're on Twitter at Dr. Mazes. Hope you have a very good rest of the day. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Bill. Thanks
a lot. Dr. Bye-bye. Victoria Mazes, one of our 24 contributors to this program, the full listing on our website, buckmastershow.com. We've got some great people. We're very proud of it. We've got all of their bios up, and you can follow them at buckmastershow.com. The Green Things people, boy, they do such a great job with all of our gardening needs. I've been going there for so many years. Green Things, they're official address, 3384 East River Road, but they're just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. GreenThingsAZ.com is the place to go to find out about their weekly weekend workshops, Saturday and Sunday. These are free events. Everything you need to know about gardening, basically, 10 a.m. on Saturday and Sunday. It is almost exactly 12:30, and it is Buckmaster Midweek back after this. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. We bring you national stories ignored by the mainstream media. Sources include the Washington Times News Service, Personal Liberty Digest, the National Center for Policy Analysis, the Washington Free Beacon, and the Heartland Institute. It is national news coverage from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at SOAZNewsX.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its members are working together to deliver transportation improvements to our region. More than 770 improvements have been completed to date. The success of the RTA is built upon collaboration and leadership that focuses on addressing our regional mobility needs to make our region a safer, more efficient, and more vibrant place to live. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. On a changing planet, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2 has been diving deeper and looking closer while energizing, innovating, conserving, and advancing science on an unparalleled scale to better understand the natural systems around us and to inspire our future generations. For 10 years now, UA Biosphere 2 has explored our planet's future. Come, explore it yourself. Open daily, biosphere2.org. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster, coming up Thursday at noon on The Buckmaster Show, a newsmaker interview with Pima County's newest supervisor, Steve Christie. Also, we'll talk about the environmental effects of building a border wall. It's all happening on Buckmaster, noon to 1, on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. And we've got worldwide live listening, our podcasts, and our complete show archive on my website. That's buckmastershow.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Well, at high noon on Friday on the steps of the United States Capitol, Donald Trump will be sworn in as the 45th President of the United States. At that moment, about half the country will feel a wonderful sense of accomplishment and gratitude. Among the other half, there will be likely a wave of anxiety and, to put it mildly, horror. Even the networks have been wrestling with exactly how do you find the right tone and approach to a country that is so divided? Well, one way to settle everybody down may be a spiritual path, a spiritual avenue. Joining me in studio is Father Robert Hendrickson, the rector at St. Philip's in the Hills Episcopal Church, where I have been a parishioner since moving back to Tucson 29 years ago this month. Father Robert, good to see you.
Good to see you again. Thanks for having me.
And congratulations. Speaking of this month milestones, 6 years ago yesterday, you were ordained.
That's right. I ordained a priest 6 years ago at Christ Church, New Haven, Connecticut.
And that was the big transition from your life coming from marketing director from Brooks Brothers to... Speaking of spiritual paths and spiritual avenues, that avenue leading you to where you are now. So, am I right in that we can kind of settle folks down perhaps with this spiritual avenue on Friday?
Well, I would hope so. And I think that the real work is trying to figure out what's our common grounding, what's our common sense of purpose, and what can we see as our kind of shared vocation as a people going forward. And I think that to me is what has felt undermined in the last couple of years, that we have not done the work of coming together, but we've done really, frankly, deeply destructive work of tearing one another down. And what I wonder now is with the length of our election cycles and the short term that it now feels like there is between election to election, do we have the time to rebuild in the way that used to be just kind of part of our national character and culture?
If you were giving the invocation at the inaugural, what would that consist of on Friday? What message would you like to deliver? What part of Scripture would you delve into?
You know, I think that I would probably be looking toward, in the Episcopal Church, we use the Book of Common Prayer as our common touchstone in terms of our life of prayer. And I would there's a prayer for the human family that's in there that I think touches on the kinds of things that I would be wanting to focus on. And the prayer includes the lines, "Look with compassion on your whole human family. Take away the arrogance and hatred that infect our hearts. Break down the walls that separate us. Unite us in the bonds of love. Work through our confusion and struggle to accomplish your purposes on earth. That in good time all nations and peoples may serve in harmony for the good of all creation." And I think I would focus on that no matter the changes and chances of this day or this year or this election cycle, that we trust in the Creator's goodness and that trust we hope that trust will never fail.
You know, we need to find our common stories.
Yeah.
And we do have those
Absolutely.
Common stories.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot that unites us. And again, we don't seem to find that right now. We find we are looking for the divisions mm-hmm. among us.
And in a nation where we began as a nation by blessing our Creator for our creation, for our preservation, for all the blessings of our life together, we have a National Day of Thanksgiving that recognizes those gifts. And to lose sight of that common story on the basis of kind of fractious differences that are really relatively minute when you consider the uniqueness of our national character, that our differences as fellow citizens in this country are really rather small when you compare to where we could be what divides us is frankly infinitely smaller than what brings us together. But there's frankly no money or publicity in focusing on what unites us right now.
People have difficulty with change. We know
yes.
that. It's very difficult, and we do have This is, of course, a major change. But when you think about it, reflect in our own lives, change is so much a part of really everyday existence as a human being.
Yes, this is. As a new rector in a parish, churches don't like to change. So this is one of the conversations we have. And I think the hard thing for us is that we tend to view one administration or one change in leadership as being the kind of abrogation or dissolution of what came before. And really what it is we are all standing in a stream of continuity, and that each change in leadership builds on the people who came before us, on the gifts that were left to us. And then in some ways we are stewards of those gifts. We pick them up, we handle them. They might get a little tarnished from us using those gifts of free speech, of liberty, of whatever it is. And then we pass them on to the next generation. And the constant challenge, I think, to all of us is how can we be the best ancestors, the kind of ancestors that our children and their children will look back on and say, boy, am I proud to have them in my family line. And that's really, I think, embedded in our national character in some way. We talk about a greatest generation. We talk about the gifts left to us by, the revolutionary fathers and mothers. Think of Molly Pitcher and George Washington and everybody else. And, so that there are all these amazing folks who are part of our lineage as Americans that's part of our common story. And I think that sort of refocusing on that, and I think moving away from this kind of constant focus on what is my right, what am I due, what does society owe me, to what are my obligations as a citizen of this country, what have I inherited that I am indebted to share with others and to protect and preserve for those who come after me.
There is this thing called a calling in life, and I think we need to maybe refocus on what we consider a calling. I know you were called to the church officially 6 years ago, but all of us have that calling, mm-hmm. and finding it can be a problem.
Yeah. Well, and finding it in a culture where we're constantly kind of marketed something that is kind of maybe like a calling or like an identity. And I think about this from my marketing background. One of the things we talked about in marketing was how do you convince somebody that they are a brand, right? So the company I worked for, we said, this person is a such and so man. Like we were trying to define them by the brand. And in all of our
and some people
culture,
then did come to identify and do come to identify as Brooks Brothers people.
That's right, yes.
Men and Brooks Brothers, right. Men and women, right. as your case with Brooks Brothers.
Well, and I think now there are so many competing messages that are pulling at our identity, whether it's political, whether it's in terms of marketing. And I think about this from the point of view of my boys. I've got a 3 and a 6-year-old boy. I mean, how much advertising they're going to see that's going to tell them who and what and how they should be over just the course of their childhood. And so I think what we have to be struggling with is what's the deeper purpose that we call people to, and how do we inculcate in people such a firm sense of who they are and what they're called to be, that they're not defined by the culture, but that they're the kind of people who can shape the culture around them. And I think that's part of the church's challenge right now, is how do we not necessarily change with the times, but change the times in the way that God's calling us to change them.
Speaking with Father Robert Hendrickson, the rector at St. Philip's in the Hills Episcopal Church, one of the challenges about finding the calling, and it doesn't have to be found at a young age, finding a calling could come at any time in one's life, can it not, Father Robert?
Absolutely. I know lots of folks who they retire, and then suddenly they find their real purpose in life. My father-in-law, whom I love dearly, right now is exploring work as a master gardener, as a cake decorator, as a whole range of things that now that he's retired, he works harder than I think he ever did when he was working. And so I think lots of folks do that. They move from finding joy, which is different than happiness. And mm-hmm. I think so much of our culture is obsessed with happiness. Mm-hmm. And I think calling is more about joy. What's that thing that gives you a deep sense that you are making a difference in the lives of those around you and the community around you. And that, to me, is where joy and purpose are found.
And again, getting back to calling in a later life, many people, when they do retire, they do feel like they perhaps retired too soon. They may feel like they miss their job very much. But then how do they find out maybe what they would like to be doing?
To me, the question then becomes around how do I make meaning in my life? Because I think it's less about what am I doing than what gifts do I have, whether they're intangible gifts, whether they're financial gifts, whether they're gifts of a certain skills or talents or whatever. So how do you make meaning out of those? And I think that is really the work of our entire lives. We're sort of pattern-seeking creatures, and so we're looking to sort of take what we know how to do or what we love and figure out how does that fit in a way that helps me figure out how will I be remembered, how can I make a contribution, how can I change the world or just change one life for the better. And I think that's what we're all always wrestling with, because it's so easy to feel like we're just spinning and never really making a difference. And I think when we make that difference, no matter how minute, sometimes when we can see it, we think that there's meaning now.
All right. Father Robert Hendrickson, rector at St. Philip's in the Hills Episcopal Church, a pleasure having you on the program. And coming up next, Father Robert, we're going to be talking about the 19-day event involving 10 Tucson arts organizations. It's called the Tucson Desert Songbook. And song and music is pretty important, isn't it, St. Philip's?
Absolutely. I think God speaks through beauty, and I think that we're a place that thrives on beauty.
All right. Thanks a lot. Have a great day.
Thanks.
Father Robert.
You too.
All right. Buckmaster Show on the Midweek Edition. Coming up on 12:45, we'll be talking with the music director for the Grammy Award-nominated True Concord. That's next on Buckmaster. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant. Named after the classic New Orleans cocktail, Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Philip's Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See us soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Philip's Plaza.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman on behalf of 5-Star Termite and Pest Control. You know, the other day I went out on my garage and I saw a cockroach on his back, just the way I like to view a cockroach. And just before he expired, he looked up at me and said, "The 5-Star technician got me." Adios, cucaracha.
We're 5-Star Pest Control, and we know what bugs you.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. The Regional Transportation Authority works with its member jurisdictions, the business community, project neighbors, and the broader community to deliver transportation projects promised in 2006. This collaborative effort is a model of diverse interests coming together for the benefit of the region. This spirit of regional collaboration helps us address the mobility and safety needs in all of our communities. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. On a changing planet, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2 has been diving deeper and looking closer while energizing, innovating, conserving, and advancing science on an unparalleled scale to better understand the natural systems around us and to inspire our future generations. For 10 years now, UA Biosphere 2 has explored our planet's future. Come, explore it yourself. Open daily, biosphere2.org.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
The excitement is building for the grand opening in early 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in early 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive. Back, it is the Buckmaster Show, 12:49 on a lovely afternoon in Tucson before the rains come in this weekend. It's always a good weekend to visit Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, one of our fine sponsors. It's only about a three-hour drive east of Tucson to a beautiful portion of the southwestern United States, and specifically the southwestern corner of New Mexico. If you've not been over there, a very historic area, lots to do, a lot of great recreation opportunities, and they got a great museum over there. If you like their Mimbres pottery, the largest collection, I think the finest in the world, is at Western New Mexico University in Silver City. Full listing of places to visit and things to do, places to stay at southwestnewmexico.org. Well, the 5th annual Tucson Desert Song Festival, it's a 19-day event officially kicking off today. The concert schedule begins tomorrow. This is a huge undertaking for our community and a good one for the community. Eric Holton joins us now. Holton, the music director of the Grammy Award-nominated True Concord. Eric, good to see you.
Hey, good to see you again, Bill. Thanks for the opportunity to be here.
Tell our listeners a little bit about True Concord and how True Concord works in with the relationship with this festival.
Well, I think the last time I was on your show, Bill, we just had these Grammy nominations and a Grammy win. We were really thrilled about that.
You did win.
Well, so it's kind of a technicality.
Yeah, so did I get it wrong by saying Grammy Award nominated?
Well, no, you got it right. What we like to say is, and I checked this with the Recording Academy officials, that the way we describe it is that our album garnered two nominations.
Yes.
And the nominations were for Best Choral Performance and then for Best Classical Contemporary Composition. And the composition won the Grammy. So that went to composer Stephen Paulus.
So he technically got the Grammy.
He got the Grammy, although our name and even my name is in parentheses on the Grammy. I've seen it.
Okay.
So slight technicality there.
Yeah. So the performance that True Concord is working on and fine-tuning and ready to launch January 27th through the 29th is Mendelssohn, really one of his most famous pieces, Elijah.
It is. In fact, some would say, and I would agree, that it is his greatest musical achievement. He was one of those brilliant composers like Schubert and Mozart who didn't live a very long life. He didn't see 40. And Elijah was one of the last compositions that he completed before his tragic death. It is the second oratorio that he'd written. He had written an oratorio on the story of Paul's conversion, the figure from the New Testament in the Bible. And for this one, he goes back to the Old Testament with Elijah, a great hero of the Bible. And he basically tells the story of Elijah's life and some of the miraculous things that he did.
And how does it fit in with this festival? Some have said that this will be kind of the cornerstone of the 2017 Tucson Desert Song Festival.
Well, I thank Kathy Birch at the Arizona Daily Star for characterizing it that way. It's certainly the biggest musical work that's going to happen on the festival, and the biggest that we've ever done as True Concord. It's going to be about a choir of 75 voices. We're joining with the University of Arizona's Arizona Choir. There'll be an orchestra of 50. The piece itself is about 2 hours. I've made some cuts to it, some traditional cuts to keep it at about 2 hours. Mm-hmm. But it's a very important piece. It's part of the festival, as you mentioned. This is the fifth year of the festival. We've been thrilled to be part of the festival from the very beginning. Credit goes to Jack Forsyth, who has recently come down here to Tucson, and this was his brainchild. He was a Fortune 500 exec, but he loved classical music. He loves mm-hmm. classical music, and he loves opera and voice. And so this song festival, which we think is one of a kind here in the U.S., is dedicated to the human voice.
Mm-hmm.
And so the many organizations that are part of it, from the Tucson Symphony and the Arizona Opera and the Guitar Society and on, the thing about it is that they all involve in these concerts the voice in some capacity.
Yeah, I've not heard of a song festival. I mean, I've heard of popular mm-hmm. song festivals, but certainly not in the classical realm.
Right, and you know, the other thing is that the Jack had envisioned this, that this festival would be a destination festival.
Mm-hmm.
And hey, we're here in Tucson. The weather's pretty great this time
Tucson's
of year.
It's Tucson's prime time for tourism.
Exactly.
This works in very well. So you've got this really monumental scale with 70 vocalists, a 50-piece orchestra. How do you kind of put all these moving parts together to make this thing a success, which I know it will be?
Well, that's always the challenge when you're the conductor and you're yes. the one standing in front of
yep.
all those people.
You do have that challenge.
But it is a challenge that I relish. It's actually a great joy because I'm blessed to work with outstanding musicians. And we, you know, I think of it as a collaborative effort. Yes, I'm the conductor, but think of it as a benevolent dictatorship. you know, we work together in bringing the music to life, and that is a great joy.
Did you grow up listening to classical music?
I did. I was a little weird, I think, to my friends because I liked classical music, although I also grew up listening to the music of the 30s and the 40s, which also made me weird to my friends. But my grandparents were musicians as an avocation, and that was their music, and I grew up with that.
Where was that?
This is in middle of nowhere, Minnesota, otherwise known as Lake Wobegon.
Oh, boy.
Actually, it's Benson, Minnesota, population 3,200.
So you're a small-town guy.
Yeah.
Tell me about the venues for putting this together. You've got, from what I understand, other than three different venues over the 3 days.
Yes.
And is that must be a challenge as well.
Well, this is part of what makes True Concord unique as well. It's sort of a bringing a music to the people, if you will. We do this with all of our concerts. And in this case, we'll be doing it in three different locations. We'll be at Catalina Foothills High School Auditorium on Friday night, the 27th. That auditorium, by the way, is the best performing venue in town, bar none. Then, as we do, we take the show down to Green Valley, and we'll be down there at Valley Presbyterian, a very large church down there that has great capacity for the audience and the musical forces. And then on Sunday afternoon, we're at Catalina United Methodist Church there on Speedway.
What about ticket information?
All the information is available at trueconcord.org. You can read about our very special guest soloist, Richard Paul Finck. He is a Grammy Award winner. There's
no
doubt about that. He won for a Best Opera Performance back in 2011. He is going to be joining us. And it's, by the way, it is because of the festival and their support of us financially that we're able to engage someone like Richard Paul Finck.
Yeah,
to join
because I'm sure he would have to be compensated and come to Tucson for
oh,
this.
Oh, yeah. No, he's the real deal. I mean, he's sung with the Metropolitan Opera many times. He is the kind of star that the festival is looking to bring for these annual events.
Now, what about the players involved with True Concord? Where do they come from? Are these local people, or are they coming from all parts of the country?
We draw our talent from all over the U.S. We pick the best of that Tucson has to offer, and we complement that with folks who come from all over the place. So we've got singers from Boston and New York and Chicago, you name it. They're here for the week, as is typical.
Mm-hmm.
Show up on Monday. We'll have our rehearsals on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then we open on Friday.
True Concord, you are the founder. Where did this idea came from? where? The creative process is mysterious, I know, but was there something that, that was the catalyst for this?
Well, you know, some people start companies in their basements or their dorm rooms. I started this in the music library at the University of Arizona as I was wrapping up my degree there, and it occurred to me that we had a professional symphony orchestra, right, a professional opera company, professional theater, ballet, etc., but we didn't have a professional chamber choir and orchestra. And so I decided, what the heck, let's give it a shot.
Again, Eric, the website for more information about the three performances
is www.trueconcord.org.
And True Concord, certainly the Grammy recognition has probably helped worldwide, right?
Or it really has.
Safe to say that.
We've had our album played all over the world. We reached number 5 on the Billboard chart for classical.
With a bullet. Oh, they don't maybe do that anymore with the Billboard. They used to put a little bullet, meaning it was on the way up.
Oh, yeah. Well, we were on the way up for sure.
Yeah. Eric, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Coming up this afternoon, another one of our fine local talk shows, Mike Shaw and Ray Allen put together from 4 to 5. That's Mike Check. And then tomorrow morning, we do 4 hours of local talk here from 6 to 10. Wake Up Tucson 6 to 9, the show called Talking Culture, our newest show from 9 to 10, and then me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you for the Buckmaster Show, 12:04 tomorrow. Steve Christie will be with us tomorrow, Pima County Supervisor. On behalf of Ray and Bill, have a great afternoon and evening.